Historians are saying that the American empire is in decline. Will a new Chinese or European empire take its place? Will the United Nations create one world government, bringing peace and prosperity to all? On a more personal level, why do politicians promise utopia but are unable to fulfill what they promise? History proves that all countries, all empires, eventually collapse and fail. On Beyond Today, we're going to tell you why governments fail and take a look at an ancient prophecy concerning the end of empires.
Join our host Gary Petty and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
You know, it really doesn't take very long. A new mayor, governor, president, prime minister, the new political platform, the new progressives, the new conservatives, even a new dictator. Everybody promises more chicken in the pot, cheaper transportation, and equality for everyone. Soon people are again disgruntled and begin to feel like their government let them down. Why is it that political leaders, whether in a democracy or socialism or totalitarianism, never seem to be able to fulfill the promises they give to their people? Popular historian Barbara Tuchman wrote, "A phenomenon noticeable throughout history, regardless of place or period, is the pursuit of governments of policies contrary to their own interests. Mankind, it seems, makes poor performance of government than almost any other activity. In this sphere, wisdom, which may be defined as the exercise of judgment, acting on experience, common sense, and available information, is less operative and frustrated than it should be." You see, the reason governments fail is because human beings fail. It's because of human nature. According to an ancient biblical prophecy, there is a government that will bring an end to war, prosperity to all human beings, and this government is actually going to fulfill all of its promises. Now, you can't vote this government into power, but it can be part of your future at a time when all human empires fail. On Beyond Today, we're going to take an in-depth look at a prophecy in the Old Testament book of Daniel and discover what it reveals about your future. This ancient prophecy reaches across time and tells of a time that is yet to happen in the near future. Now, if you don't have a Bible in front of you, I want you to get one because I want you to follow along. We're going to look at what the Creator says about your future. Now, let's go to Daniel chapter 2. The events of this book take place back in the 6th century B.C. Babylon was the superpower of the day, ruled by a despot named Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Daniel was among a group of young Jews captured by the Babylonians during one of their invasions of Judah, and they were taken to the emperor's capital to be indoctrinated in Babylonian culture. If you have your Bible and you pick up and you start to read through Daniel chapter 2, you'll see what happened was, is Nebuchadnezzar, this king, has a very disturbing dream and this vision. And he doesn't know what it means. It disturbs him. He gets together all of his astrologers and his sorcerers and he demands that they interpret the dream. But he won't tell them what the dream is. And so they don't know how to answer it. And he tells them, well, if you really have all these supernatural powers, you should be able to tell me the dream and then tell me what it means. Well, Daniel, who is a worshiper of the true God, the God of the Bible, the God of the Old Testament, he goes to God and he asks him to give him an answer to the vision. And God reveals to him the meaning. So what happens is that Daniel goes to Nebuchadnezzar and he explains to him, here's what your dream was. Your dream was a vision of a statue, an image, huge image of a human being. And the head was of gold, and the next section of it, the chest and arms were of silver. And the center section was of bronze. And then the legs were made of iron. And then strangely enough, at the very bottom, you have feet that are made of iron and clay. And then this huge stone comes out and crushes this image on the feet, and it collapses. Of course, the message is that this prophecy goes out through history and explains that there's going to be kingdoms. And these kingdoms are all eventually, or these empires, are going to fail. Let's look at verse 36. So pick up your Bible, pick up Daniel chapter 2. Let's start in verse 36. This is the dream, Daniel says. Now we will tell you the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, and I was talking to Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, this is this young Jewish captive, and he's talking to the most powerful man at that time on the face of the earth. You are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of heaven, he has given them to your hand, and he has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. So the Babylonian kingdom, that's what this image represented, the head of gold, the shoulders of gold. This was the Babylonian kingdom. But notice what he says. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, and shall rule over all the earth. And then a fourth kingdom, which shall be as strong as iron, and that it breaks into pieces and shatters everything and crushes everything before it. He goes on and explains that these four kingdoms are going to be destroyed. Because there's going to be this stone, which is from God, the Messiah, which will crush these kingdoms and set up another kingdom, a fifth kingdom on this earth, a time when it will be the end of the empires. Now, if you look through this, historically, we stand at a very unique time. We can look back in time and we can look at these empires, and they actually happened in succession. The Babylonian Empire was the greatest empire of its day, and it fell in one day. They believed that nothing could conquer them. They were behind strong walls of their city and had a huge army. But the Persians came up and encamped around them and besieged Babylon. And they actually, we know from Herodotus, the Greek historian, they drained the river, the Euphrates River, came in underneath the iron gates, and it fell in one day. And that was followed by the Persian Empire. And that was followed by it as they were crushed by the Greeks under Alexander the Great. Eventually, the Greek Empire was crushed by the Roman Empire, which truly was represented by iron. It was the strength and power of the legions run by emperors, many of them who were mad. And they conquered the whole known world at that time, Europe, Northern Africa, the Mediterranean area. But you know, the last part of this prophecy, the establishment of God's kingdom on this earth, has not yet happened. So even though we can look back and see that these four kingdoms happened in succession, just like this prophecy before they ever came about said they would, the last part of this prophecy has not taken place. A time when the Roman Empire, there's only four kingdoms that are mentioned, four human empires, at a time when there is a revival of that empire, there are 10 kings, as it says here in this prophecy, if you read Daniel chapter 2. And there's going to come a time when the Messiah comes. That hasn't happened yet. You know, all empires, Egyptian, Assyrian, Babylonian, Persian, Greek, Roman, Islamic, communism, English, even the American Empire eventually fail. This prophecy in Daniel allows us to see across the expanse of history and see into the future what a great empire, an extension of this fourth empire of Nebuchadnezzar, is going to arrive on the world scene, and then is going to be destroyed. And all empires come to an end because of the Messiah. And we're going to be joined next segment by Melvin Rhodes to discuss the coming future kingdom. But first, we want to tell you how you can get your free literature offered today. We'll be right back.
Did you know that the military and economic dominance of the United States was predicted in Bible prophecy over 2,000 years ago? Also predicted was China's role as a great power at the time of the end. You can read all about these trends each month in your free subscription to World News and Prophecy. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. For the first time, you will be able to interpret the confusing conflicts in the Middle East. Also understand why the developing European Union will challenge the very freedom and independence of the United States, Great Britain, and all the English-speaking nations of the world. Find out as nowhere else by subscribing to World News and Prophecy. It's free by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or going online to beyondtoday.tv.
Imagine, if you will, if you had been a Babylonian soldier at the time of the Persian siege, You would have believed your empire was destined to last forever. That night, the Euphrates was drained, the Persians crept under the gates, and your world changed. Imagine if you had been a merchant during the time of Greek-Athenian democracy. You would have reveled in the belief that your way of life was superior, but it ended also. Imagine if you had been a young Roman in the last days of that empire. You would have looked out over the magnificent Roman Forum and believed it could never end. Those empires did fail. And the lessons of their failures, of their fall, are important for citizens of the United States, Canada, or any country that has great pride in its own wealth and power and forgets God. To further explore the prophecies of Daniel 2 and its importance for your future, we're joined by World News and Prophecy writer and lecturer on Daniel and Revelation, Melvin Rhodes. Melvin, maybe just give us a little overview of Daniel chapter 2.
Well, the book of Daniel was written in the 6th century B.C., and it really gives us a history of the world from the time of Daniel right up until the time when Jesus Christ is going to return. So it covers about 2,600 years. And it begins with Daniel, who was a Jew. He was a captive, a slave in Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar, who had absolute power, had a dream and wanted that dream explained, and none of his usual people could do it. So eventually Daniel was brought to him, and God revealed to Daniel what the meaning of the dream was. And the dream was looking ahead to the time in the future, all the great empires that would succeed the Babylonian Empire, right down until the return of Jesus Christ, which is still, of course, in the future.
Now, of course, when we look back, we can see where these four empires did come along through history. The Roman Empire, of course, is fascinating. It was around at the time of Jesus Christ and has a future intent. Talk a little bit about the Roman Empire.
Well, the Roman Empire was the fourth of the great empires in Daniel chapter 2. And the Roman Empire did exist at the time of Jesus Christ, as you mentioned. It was a great militaristic empire. It lasted longer than the other empires that had been predicted. In fact, the Roman Empire lasted for about 1,000 years. And in the east, it actually lasted 2,000 years, another 1,000 years. And the Roman Empire historically fell in the 5th century A.D., but there have been a number of attempts throughout history to revive the Roman Empire, and the Bible shows that there is going to be another revival of the Roman Empire prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ.
You mentioned about how in the East, the Roman Empire in the East, the Roman Empire actually ended up split in two, East and West. And of course, it's interesting in that image, the iron which represents that empire was in two legs, two parts, which shows how those prophecies were very particular in the way that God had them fulfilled.
Yes.
Now, it talks about these feet of iron mixed with clay, you know, these 10 toes. Explain what that means.
Well, it's interesting. Even today, when you look at Europe, you just mentioned how the Eastern Empire and the Western Empire were split. Even today, when you look at Europe, they're trying to revive a united Europe, this idea of a united Europe. You've got the East is very different from the West, and it goes back to that division. And the iron mixed with miry clay, the attempt to try to bring about a unification of all the different peoples of Europe is very difficult because they are so different. It's not like the United States. It was very different in Europe.
Because of different peoples and different cultures all trying to mingle together.
Yes.
Now, but when we look at those 10 toes, we're not talking about the past. We're talking about the future. So there is going to be, and actually has been, attempts to revive and reconstruct the Roman Empire over history.
Yes, that's right. In fact, again, the Roman Empire collapsed in 476 A.D. Within 100 years, there was an attempt to put it back together. Then there was another one around the year 800 with Charlemagne. Then you had the Holy Roman Empire that lasted for 1,000 years. And then you had Napoleon, and you've had Hitler, and so on. So various attempts to unite Europe. Now there is a different attempt, the European Union. Instead of trying to unite Europe through military conquest, they're trying to unite Europe peacefully. But the Bible shows there's going to be yet another militaristic Roman Empire again prior to Christ's return.
And Europe's power is already being felt by the United States. I mean, the euro is a strong currency compared to the dollar.
Yes, Europe is the biggest single trading power in the world. the European Union as the biggest single market, bigger than the United States by far. The euro is arguably the most stable currency, having replaced the dollar in many countries. And in fact, what's going on right now with the international financial crisis, arguably the Europeans are coming out better than we are in the United States, because the euro, which is led by Germany, has strict policies which restrict the amount of overspending that can be done. Now, we are throwing money at everything to solve the problem in the United States, but in Europe they're not doing that. So they still have a tight monetarist policy, which ultimately is likely to result in the euro being a stronger currency than the dollar.
You know, you go back to our parents who fought World War II. After World War II, they would have never believed that Europe could rise out of those ashes to become just what it is today within just a couple of generations. It's amazing.
That's a good way of putting it, because a lot of people put down Europe because it's taking so long for the European countries to come together in a full union. But the achievement is incredible when you look at European history. And in the past 50 years since the Treaty of Rome was signed in 1957, these nations have made incredible strides towards forming what they call an ever closer union. That's the purpose of the Treaty of Rome, to form an ever closer union. And now they're in the final stage, actually, before they create a fully united Europe.
And the United States is becoming, in some ways, a rival.
That's correct. There's more and more conflict. And I think the main conflict, at least initially, is going to be with trade. A lot of trade disputes. Europe is obviously a threat to America in terms of trade, because it is the world's greatest trading power. Germany alone is a bigger exporting nation than we are in the United States. Also, the European Union has lots of rules and regulations which often don't sit well with American companies.
You know, this prophecy stretches out over 2,600 years, given to Daniel so long ago in the 6th century B.C. And yet, it has some very important... There is a very important message for you and me today. We're going to be back to talk about how Daniel's message applies to your life right after this.
Did you know that the military and economic dominance of the United States was predicted in Bible prophecy over 2,000 years ago? Also predicted was thousands of years of European history and the coming conflict which will end the power of the United States. Find out as nowhere else by subscribing to World News and Prophecy. It's free by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or going to beyondtoday.tv. While the news about the Middle East seems to get worse, you can get understanding of where it's going in your free subscription to the Good News magazine. See why Jerusalem will remain at the center of the news in articles that regularly keep you up to date in the direction of our world. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription to the Good News magazine.
Welcome back. We're trying to cover a lot of information in today's program. By the way, we also invite you to get your free copy of the Good News magazine. And this subscription to this magazine has been paid for. It will cost you nothing. Please call 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go online to beyondtoday.tv. We've been discussing with Melvin Rhodes, writer for World News and Prophecy magazine, the prophetic image of Daniel chapter 2. We've been talking about this revived Roman Empire, and we look at Europe today, and Europe's becoming stronger and stronger. How does the Bible describe this revival of the Roman Empire that's going to happen before the coming of Jesus Christ?
Well, to understand what the Bible says, you need to look at Revelation chapter 17. In Revelation chapter 17, it shows that a great power is going to emerge and probably will not last very long, but it will emerge just before Christ's return. In Revelation 17 and verse 12, it says that 10 kings, 10 leaders, it doesn't have to be kings necessarily, come together and they form a union, and then they give their power to a personage that is described in the scriptures as the beast. This is the successor to the Roman Empire. It will come out of Europe. It is not the same thing as the European Union. The European Union is 27 different countries right now, and there are more trying to join. But this revived Roman Empire will be 10 kings. Now, it could actually be 10 regions of the European Union, so it could encompass most of what is today the European Union. But these nations then, when Christ returns, they actually turn on him militarily. And, of course, it says in verse 14 that Jesus Christ is victorious over them. But we know this is at the end time, and we know this is the superpower that will replace the United States.
And so the European Union may not be specifically what happens, but it may set up the framework for that to happen.
Oh, yes, it is setting up the framework. What the European Union has done is this. Before World War II, most people in Europe identified as French or German or Polish or British. But increasingly, since the birth of the European Union, which was in 1957, although it wasn't called that then, but since the birth of the European Union, gradually Europeans, although still seeing themselves as French or Germans or Poles or British, they also see themselves as Europeans. There is a European identity which has been created and which has been established. People do not want to lose that. If anything goes wrong and the European Union for some reason falls apart, which could happen during this financial crisis, people would still want to have that idea of a united Europe. And, you know, they'd want to pursue it in whatever way they could.
But this brings us to the good news of Daniel chapter 2. There comes a time when all these empires fail. The new European empire is going to fail, just like eventually the American empire is going to fail. And at this time when all empires fail, Jesus Christ is coming to establish God's kingdom, his kingdom on this earth. Explain what that's going to be like.
Well, that is very true, and it's a very good news in the Bible. It is the gospel of the coming kingdom of God. Again, when you look at Europe, you look at European history, you see that so many empires have failed. 100 years ago, for example, if you look at the map of Europe, most of those empires no longer exist. And so Europeans know very well that nations do not last very long. Americans may not realize that, but that is very much the case. And eventually what's going to happen is, as Daniel chapter 2 shows, Jesus Christ is going to return and establish the kingdom of God. And when the government of God is established on the earth, it will last forever. It says of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. So the kingdom will last forever. And man eventually, finally, will have a peaceful, long-lasting, just governing kingdom, which will exist forever.
And all human empires, during their time period, the people who are involved in it think it's going to last forever. The British Empire, the Roman Empire, I mean, the Chinese empires. I mean, all empires have, they believe they're going to last forever, but they never do. Inside human beings are the seeds of our own self-destruction. Which leads me to two questions I want to ask you, sort of hypothetical questions here. If you had a chance to speak to the United Nations and tell them about Daniel chapter 2, the message of Daniel chapter 2, what would you say to the United Nations?
Well, the key verse in Daniel chapter 2 is verse 21 that tells us that God is behind the rise and fall of nations. And I would tell people at the United Nations that is what they need to understand, that although they've got their own countries, that God is behind the rise and fall of nations. And history shows us that every single nation eventually falls. And they should listen to that and remember that, because their nations will, in the course of time, fall. And when nations break the laws of God, then they condemn themselves to their own destruction.
Think they'd listen to you?
No, I don't think they would listen, because it would require making some changes in their own countries, and most nations would not do that.
And that's what makes this prophecy so amazing. God knows people will not listen. They will not listen until Christ returns and forces humanity to actually come to peace, prosperity, the things we want, but he has to force us to do it. Last question. You're sitting in someone's living room. The common person is just trying to make ends meet, trying to get through life every day. Daniel chapter 2. What's the message to that average person?
I think the message for the average person is to keep yourself focused on God. Your most important relationship in this life is with God. That God is in charge, that even though things may look terrible now and the difficulties that lie ahead may be overwhelming, if you keep your focus upon God and the kingdom of God, you are assured that you will be in the kingdom of God. And that's what we need to look forward to.
And that message, people need to grab hold of that. You know, in bad times, say in good times, a lot of times we ignore God. But in bad times, when we realize how hard life can be, we realize how short life can really be. We come to grips with there is a future. There is a future, and that this human life is preparation for that future. We're down to the core gospel message now, that we're made in the image of God. We're all messed up. and only God can save us, and Jesus Christ is real. Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for our sins, and Jesus Christ is coming back to establish the only way of life. The Creator is the only one who knows how life works, and He's coming back to establish that, and that is good news.
Yeah, very good news.
And it's news that we need to pass on to people. You know, there is coming to this earth a literal kingdom. I want you to understand that. A literal kingdom. And it will not fail. And I guarantee you, it's not going to be formed by the United Nations, European Union, or the United States of America. God is going to send Jesus Christ back to this earth, not as a baby in the manger, but as the conquering king. And you can be part of what God is doing. We'll be back to tell you more about that kingdom, that empire, right after this.
Did you know that the military and economic dominance of the United States was predicted in Bible prophecy over 2,000 years ago? Also predicted was thousands of years of European history and the coming conflict which will end the power of the United States. Find out as nowhere else by subscribing to World News and Prophecy. It's free by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or going to beyondtoday.tv.
Rudyard Kipling captured the repetitive cycle of man's inability to govern himself in his novel, The Man Who Would Be King. The tale is of two British soldiers in 19th century India who decide to go into the remote mountains far from any European influence, find an uncivilized people, and set themselves up as kings. In the course of the story, the two soldiers take over a small mountain tribe, teach them how to use firearms, and proceed to conquer all the neighboring tribes. They institute a benevolent dictatorship. At first, the English king seemed to bring progress to the tribes. Eventually, the mountain people began to look on the two as gods. That is, until one of the Englishmen begins to have amorous feelings towards a local girl. This leads the villagers to decide that their rulers really aren't gods. The Englishmen are dethroned, one is killed, the other tortured. The second king lives just long enough to escape and tell his story. This is the story of tribes, countries, and empires since the beginning of time. Humanity needs government, laws, and leadership for the common good. It also has a proclivity, and it's a proclivity of human beings, to become corrupted by the very power inherent in government. The problem with human government is human nature. Perfect government needs a divine ruler. Jesus of Nazareth is the prophesied Messiah. He is returning to Jerusalem to rule the world. Only then will all humanity experience peace and prosperity under one world leader that keeps his promises. And it will be the time of the end of empire. For Beyond Today, I'm Yuri Petty, and thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.